Hi, everybody. Welcome to Common Sense with Bacon on Podomatic.com. And now for a very special Bacon's Friday Rant. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of Bacon's Friday Rants. And I know what you're going to say. Bacon, it's Saturday. This is the second week in a row. You're late. For that, ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize. As everyone out there is well aware, crazy things can happen on at any time, and my Friday was full of some craziness, which prevented me from getting my rant recorded and put out there on the Friday. So hopefully this is the last time that this happens, with the rants coming out a day late when it's supposed to be. I mean, it's called Friday Rants for a reason. I don't just do it for the sake of the name. I do it because I want to do it on Friday. Now, so I apologize for that. But this is the first BFR of the new year, and I'm excited to be able to get this off. Now, I got two things on my mind that I want to talk about. First and foremost, I want to start with the news about unemployment numbers. The jobless rate actually went down yesterday from 8.6 to 8.5, with 200,000 jobs being added over the month of December. And the economists are saying this is great news. This is a sign of a turnaround in the economy. Well, I don't totally buy that notion just yet, and I'll tell you why. Because everybody is well aware that the month of December is a time when lots of different companies, stores, courier services such as FedEx and UPS, they're going to hire more people because they want to be able to accommodate for the high number of holiday traffic that's going to be coming through. Lots of extra packages being mailed out, such as gifts, and obviously people going to shop and stuff like that. So I think that's one issue of why you saw so many jobs get added on. But those are all usually seasonal, temporary jobs, and I believe that you will see that number possibly go down over the next couple of months or so. Now, I am trying at this time to also look up something else here. Here we go. So I'm going to go to this here. Breitbart.com. Everybody knows Breitbart. The guy's not exactly known for putting out cruddy information, and I believe that his information is going to be accurate because he wants to make sure that his point comes across in a accurate way. But you know, he has an article up here that says that the real U.S. unemployment rate is actually at 16%. And let's explain for those of you unaware of this. I've discussed this in the past, okay? And actually, this is an old article. I should point out this is back in August, so I don't know how up to date this is. I'm going to try to find a more up to date article here. But let's talk about this real quick, what I mean by unemployment rate. Here we go. This is a little bit better. So the one that we just heard wasn't too far off. This is another article here. This is International Business Times. This is IBTimes.com article. Came out mere 10 hours of the time of this before the 10 of this recording. Actually, a little more than that, but nonetheless. The unemployment rate currently sitting around 8.5, 8.6, as I just said, but bear in mind that lots of presidents, and I bet Bush did this as well, I'm sure, in case there's anybody out there who's listening to me for the first time, Bush probably did this too, whatever. I've talked about the real unemployment rate in the past. Basically, there are three types of people that that unemployment numbers look at. There are the people who are unemployed and trying to not be unemployed. You have people who are underemployed, as in they are in a job where they are making less money than they should be making. Like, for example, when you got somebody with a bachelor's degree working as a waiter. And then you have people who have stopped looking for jobs altogether. Now, the number we were just quoting, the 8.5 or 8.6% rate, matter of fact, this week they went down to 8.5, that is the number of people who are looking, who don't have work but are looking for work. Now, that real unemployment rate factor is the one you really want to pay attention to. And as I said, I'm sure all presidents do this. I don't know what it was under George W. Bush, and that's not what I don't care about that particularly. I care about what it is right now. And right now, the real unemployment rate, the real jobless rate in this country is sitting at 15.6%. Now, what I'm curious about is I'm looking around at I'm trying to scan through this article. It's a pretty short article. What I was curious about was one of the other theories as to why the unemployment rate has also dropped, it's also the reason why people believe it dropped initially from 9 to 8.6 in the previous month, was because we weren't seeing an increase in jobs. We were actually seeing a decrease in people who were looking for jobs. And they basically said, you know what, I can't find work, I'm done, screw it, forget it, I'm not looking anymore. And that caused one area of the real jobless rate to go up, while the primary area we all look at to go down. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Again, don't have all, I mean, they don't have this, the difference in the statistics in this particular article, but I think that's another real reason why we need to keep an eye on this. Now, I made a prediction a while ago. I don't recall if I put it on record or not, but I'm going to put it on record here. I believe that over the next couple of months, you're going to see the unemployment rate continue to drop, and I'm going to tell you why. Because there's still lots of money left over from the stimulus. Bear in mind that when the stimulus package was passed in 2009, all that money was not pumped into the economy right away. All that money was being pumped in a little bit at a time. I think the first year it was like 3%. The second year was going to be like maybe 20% of the money going out. I don't remember the exact numbers. But I believe that there's a large chunk of stimulus money still sitting around that has not been doled out. That's going to get doled out over the next several months, and you're going to watch the jobless rate continue to drop. And I'm going to go so far as to say, because we have such a large number of people who are dealing with unemployment benefits and who are getting unemployment benefits and who are on food stamps and stuff like that, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of that stimulus money went to those programs. So the jobless rate would be dropping more so because people just stopped looking. And they're just like, screw it, I'm just going to take the government benefits instead, and I'm not going to look for a job. And they're just going to do it that way instead. But I also do believe you will see jobs start to get created, and they're going to do that simply for the purpose of trying to make it look like the economy is beginning a turnaround so that President Obama can try to win a second term. So I'm calling this prediction right now. Watch out for the unemployment rate dropping. But keep in mind, and I say this to anyone who ends up being the Republican presidential candidate, whoever that may be. You know, we had Michelle Bachmann drop out this week. By the way, I'm 0-1 of my predictions so far. I thought Bachmann would stick around till South Carolina, but that last place finish in Iowa really must have hit her hard, so she dropped out. That's one person out. So we're going to start seeing that field narrow down as time goes on, and we're going to find out what happens. But whoever the Republican nominee is, they need to make sure to point out the unemployment rate is going to be artificially screwed with in order to buy Obama's second term in office. So it's very important to keep a very close eye on this. Matter of fact, I would say anybody out there who is going to be paying attention to the Republican, whoever the Republican nominee is, I think whoever that person is needs to start thinking about the real jobless rate and keeping an eye out for that. Now, speaking of the Republican nomination, I've been paying attention to my Facebook an awful lot. And not only was this, I didn't just see this on Facebook. I actually saw people who are considered the experts for the National Review write this. And I find this to be the most ridiculous concept I have ever heard. As everybody is well aware, there was a virtual tie in Iowa at the Iowa caucus this past week between Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum. Now, technically, Mitt Romney did win by a mere 8 votes, which is, God knows, that's a really close call. And he garnered roughly about 25% of the electorate, which is not bad. It's the same where he got in 2008. Rick Santorum also got roughly about 25%, but again, just shy by 8 votes. Again, very close. But anyway, here's my point. A lot of people, a lot of writers coming out, and they're going off and they're saying, well, you know what that means? That means 75% of people rejected Mitt Romney. Really? That's the way you're going to turn it? That's the way you're going to twist it? 75% of Iowa rejected Mitt Romney? It's amazing. You know, I'm a Romney supporter, full disclosure. Everybody knows that I am. But I can respect other people's rights to support the candidate they want to support. That's fine. You can do that all you want. It's a free country. That's the whole point. But to go off and try to twist things around and make your candidate look better by claiming 75% rejected Romney? Let me say that in a totally different way, and tell me if this makes sense to you. 95% of Iowa rejected Michelle Bachmann. Now, if Iowa is one of the most conservative states in the union, which many believe it is, and that's the way a lot of people also twisted it, 75% of conservatives rejected Romney. Well, What about 95% of conservatives rejected Bachman? Bachman has one of the strongest conservative records in Congress and had one of the strongest conservative records of those running for president this time around. And you're going to sit there and tell me that 75% rejected Mitt Romney? It's the most ridiculous and asinine way of trying to spin the numbers in order to try to make your candidate look better. And after, and a lot of those people, by the way, are being said by Newt Gingrich supporters. Again, you have the right to support whoever you want. You have fun with that. But it goes back to the whole point of you've got... Newt Gingrich got fourth place. Let me try to find this real fast. I talked about this the other day. Fox News had great coverage of the Iowa caucus. Let me see if I can find that information again. As may you know, I do this kind of off the cuff, so I'm searching as I'm talking here. So I'm looking right now. You can probably even hear mouse clicks in the background. My microphone is extremely powerful. It picks up noises that I can't believe the noises that it picks up. But you know, it's amazing to me. So we're gonna follow. We're going to Fox News election headquarters here, and here we go. So we have a candidate tracker. Let's see. Hopefully this moves. Trying to find the Iowa caucus stuff so I can kind of direct my attention to that. Kind of don't really have that going here. I'm trying to make my point about Newt Gingrich. Let's look up Newt Gingrich real fast. So we're going to pull up Newt Gingrich here at Fox News. They have a candidate tracker, so I'm clicking on Newt Gingrich here. And we're going to see if we can find the information I want about Gingrich, particularly with the Iowa caucus. And now this is much harder to do on the fly than I thought it would be. All right, we'll do the old-fashioned way. My point is, and I'll say this as I'm looking up the information, that Newt Gingrich got fourth place in the Iowa caucus. By that particular logic, and we're going to try to find, again, this is way more difficult than I thought. All right, I'm going to do it this totally different way. We're going to do Iowa caucus, Newt Gingrich, searching. My whole point basically is that whatever percentage Gingrich won, take the opposite percentage that leads up to the... to 100, to 100, and that's how many people ultimately rejected Gingrich, essentially. That's what it comes down to. And I gotta tell you that this is the point we're making here is that just because 75% didn't vote for Romney doesn't mean that means everybody is everybody's getting rejected. It's a really... I can't find the statistics right now. I don't care. I'm not going to look anymore. I don't want to waste any more time trying to find it. My point is this. To try to spin it as if 75% rejected Romney is ridiculous. Because then you have to take the exact same thing. You can say 75% rejected Santorum. Ron Paul got 22%. So that means a... Steve, what is that? 88% rejected Ron Paul? Which... totally makes sense. Just realize Real Clear Politics has all this information. I'm going to try to pull that up real fast. So, and then, as I said, using my example before, 95% of the conservative electorate in Iowa rejected Michelle Bachman. And that makes no sense when you put it that way, because there's not a single conservative that can imagine rejecting Michelle Bachman because she has such a solid record. And she's on, I mean, you can search the record. It's there. And then people will make a whole bunch of other excuses about why Bachman only got 5%. And, you know, it's ridiculous. The bottom line is, in my view, it is totally ridiculous. So if you want to go off and say, well, you know, this, that, whatever, you better have a real good way of trying to find a way to back up that point. So here we go. Iowa caucus information, the final round of Iowa caucus numbers, thanks to RealClearPolitics.com. Thank you. The final round, 13.3% voted for Romney, which means... That nearly 87% rejected Gingrich in Iowa. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either. So, stop using this crap because it makes no sense. It is totally and utterly inaccurate. And believe me, it'll make things a lot more interesting. Now, New Hampshire is also going to be very interesting. There's been quite a few movers and shakers in New Hampshire. Let's bring that up right now, thanks to Real Clear Politics. But the big lead still sitting in Romney. The last poll taken between the 1st and the 5th and the 6th of January, 500 likely voters through a Suffolk 7 News tracking poll show Romney with a 22-point lead over Ron Paul, 39-17, 9% going to Rick Santorum and Huntsman with 9% as well. Gingrich still has 10%, so he's actually in third in that poll. Of course, this is probably one of the first that doesn't have Michelle Bachmann involved in it. But the Rasmussen poll, I always pay attention to Rasmussen more than anything else, and Rasmussen's very telling, and that shows out of 750 likely voters on January 5th, Mitt Romney has a 24-point lead, 42 points for him, 18 for Ron Paul, 13 for Santorum, 12 for Huntsman, 8 for Gingrich, and 1 for Perry. That's gonna be interesting. But the big story, I gotta share this, and then I'm gonna get out of here. Goes to South Carolina. New polls just coming out finally in South Carolina. I was quoting December 18th, but finally we got some new polls coming out here. Rasmussen, 750 likely voters on the 5th as well in North Carolina, and Romney with a 3-point lead. And you know, if you look at the line graph that they have, it's amazing. On the fifth, Gingrich had a remarkable 29 to 22.3 lead over Romney, and then just the very next day, it is a huge shift, and Romney just shoots up past Gingrich, and he is now Gingrich is all the way down to third in South Carolina, which is huge. That's the Rasmussen report. CNN Time poll from the 4th to the 5th of January, 485 likely voters give Romney an 18-point lead in South Carolina. This is a big deal to see a sudden shift because, remember, South Carolina was like, I have heard some people even argue that South Carolina is the more conservative than Iowa. So seeing the sudden shift is, I think, very, very telling of where the electorate may be going. Now, I'm not going to be so bold as to say that Mitt Romney can definitely become the nominee, but you know, right now, the momentum is definitely going in his direction. Now, Santorum has also been moving quickly, and that's obviously saying a lot, but we're going to be seeing things over time. Now, here's the big thing. We still don't have any new recent polls from Florida, and Florida is going to be the big one as far as I'm concerned because Florida is such an important state to win. And but, you know, the last poll, I mentioned it earlier, between the 15th and 19th of December, remind you, this is a while ago, from Telopinion, 800 likely voters gave Romney a 1-point edge over Newt Gingrich, 27-24. No one else in Florida is even close to that, or 27-26, excuse me, Romney to Gingrich in Florida. That's back in December. Now, no one else in Florida is even close to that. The next one in line would be Ron Paul at 5. After that is Perry with 4, Bachmann with 4, which again tells you how long it's been since this poll has been done. Huntsman with 1, Santorum with 1. And I'm very curious to see where Santorum goes after this one in Florida, as well as where Gingrich goes, because we could see a continuing drop here. I'm going to go back to South Carolina because that's the other big surge to talk about, which goes to Santorum. Santorum has skyrocketed into second place in South Carolina, just behind Romney in both of those polls that I just mentioned, the CNN and the Rasmussen. So, matter of fact, if you look at that line graph, I love talking about the line graph. The day the poll was taken was on the 5th, and you've got Santorum only at 10%. This is right before the big shift took place, and the very next day he was in third place, and then, boom, he's right behind Romney, and he surpasses Gingrich. It's pretty impressive. How quickly this has gone for Santorum. And, you know, I gotta tell you, it's kind of funny for you, but I remember when I was listening to Santorum when he got on with Sean Hannity a couple months ago, and he said, maybe my surge will happen right before Iowa. Looks like he had that planned out pretty well, but we'll see how he goes. The big problem for Santorum is really raising money, and he's great at the old-fashioned retail politics of just traveling all over the place. He spent more time in Iowa than anybody else. The downside to that, though, is the fact that you have him spending all of his resources in one state. The question is, does he have enough left for the for New Hampshire, for South Carolina, and then hopefully carrying on to Florida? We'll see if hopefully if any new polls come out in the next couple days in Florida, because I'm very curious to see how numbers have changed there. For those of you listening tonight, there is going to be a Republican debate. I believe it is via ABC Beyond Tonight, and hopefully we'll see how that goes. Predict Romney to get attacked an awful lot, and I'd also say go ahead and predict that you'll see a lot of attacks from Rick, or a lot of attacks to Rick, aimed towards Rick Santorum, because now it's not just about unseating the frontrunner, it's about proving you're more conservative than the other guy. Now, Santorum is considered the most conservative choice, and he does kind of walk the walk when it comes to that. So watch him to get some attacks too, but most of those attacks are going to be aimed at Romney. If he comes out unscathed in this debate, and the debate tomorrow morning, who would have thought, a morning debate, what the heck, if he comes through those two debates fairly unscathed, I will predict that you can probably see him coasting through a win to New Hampshire, in New Hampshire, and then we'll watch as time goes on from there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking way too long, way longer than I thought I would go for. This is what happens when I try to search crap off the top of my head while I'm talking here. I want to thank everybody for listening to this recent Friday rant. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the first Friday rant of 2012. CommonSenseWithBacon.Podomatic.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and I'll talk to you all very soon.